Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my very special guest is Dan, a good friend of mine. He's had a number of ET experiences, military type experiences, has had experiences involving high profile individuals. And I've had him on the show before. I thought it would be a good time to bring Dan back to thresh out certain issues and try to bring people up to date with our take on some of the things that are going on, as well as looking ahead, into the intermediate and further future. So, without any further ado, Dan, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you so much, James. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you back. Well, tell me, what have you been up to, and what's your take on current events? What are the trends you see, both on the surface, geopolitically, as well as cosmically?
Thank you. It seems like it was a long time since the last time we talked. So much has gone on. I feel like the world's changed a lot too in that time, and for myself in a good way. So, I think there's that sort of, just as a general sense, there's that sort of feeling in the air right now that we're hitting that omega point. Just with everything, all the systems seem to be coming towards their logical conclusions, whether it's the economy, politics, like even the viability of an actual US election that's going to occur again and be honored seems to be a question mark right now. A lot of people feel like there's going to be increasing disclosure or the big event coming down the road. There's a possible World War III on the proverbial World War III on the table yet again. And you're sort of looking in which direction does, is there a way out, or are we just sort of coming up to the wall? Which will help us. I think a lot of people are looking at it as a negative thing, but I described it to someone before as it's sort of like our, we look at the Earth right now, sort of like a cosmic egg. Maybe we're just the little hatchling trying to break out of that egg, and maybe we're onto the verge of something wonderful too.
Well, that's a good analogy. And like a lot of times, a lot of people, you probably have seen this yourself. You would see how like the clutch of eggs of sea turtles would, start to break open, and the little sea turtles would get out and try to make their way to the ocean. But they have to run a gauntlet of crabs, of seagulls, of all kinds of predators. And then out of the hundreds of eggs, only a fraction, a tiny fraction of the baby turtles get to the ocean, and then they have to deal with all the predators in the ocean, right? So I see it kind of as that kind of a struggle where we are trying to break out of this proverbial egg yolk, this proverbial cosmic vassalage, and we have to see things start to break down. And what we're seeing now is all kinds of things are being exposed. We're seeing the dissolution of certain systems, and we're seeing the formerly powerful institutions, they're being shown to be very vulnerable and very weak right now. So, what are your thoughts about geopolitically? For example, just one thing I want to throw out, in the recent past, Malaysia has stopped allowing Israeli ships to pull in into their ports, and so restricting commerce with the Israelis. And I've been thinking for a long time, and you're a Far Eastern guy, so you would understand this. What if the Chinese PLA Navy, maybe in combination with the Indonesian na Navy, and remember, everybody, Indonesia has the largest population of Muslims in the world. And seeing how world Muslim opinion has been inflamed in the recent past by the ongoing mass slaughter in Gaza, what if the Chinese Navy and the Indonesian Navy combine to, if you remember the Cuban Missile Crisis, how that was resolved with the quarantine, so-called, by the U.S., blockade essentially. What if something like that was done to the Malacca Straits? So much, in fact, all of the oil from the Persian Gulf and the Middle East that goes to the Far East, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, the Philippines, it transits through the Malacca Straits. What if the Indon Navy and the Chinese PLA Navy decide to do a blockade of some kind, keep US flagged vessels and Israeli vessels or any country associated, affiliated with them, turn them back essentially, right? If they did something like that, this tenuous alliance that the Anglo-Zionist Empire has with Japan, has with South Korea, etc., then that's going to wobble like jelly because their economies overnight will flounder. That's going to create the possibility for civil unrest, and who knows what'll go on from there. And one quick last point is, you remember back to the Clinton administration, James Riady, an ethnic Chinese Indonesian, communist Asian billionaire, he had unfettered access to the White House. He could just stroll in and out of the Oval Office when Clinton was in there and tell him, "Shut up, boy, and listen. This is what you're gonna do," right? So there's a couple of dynamics intertwined going on. The largest Muslim population in the world in Indonesia, but also the fact that ethnic Chinese communists are Indonesian nationals, and they may have something to say about this. So I'd like your thoughts on that or anything else, Dan.
Yeah, that's a great original angle to look at this from. I think the Chinese are a bit of a wild card at this time. It's very hard seeing which direction they're wanting to go. But Malaysia, like you said, obviously huge Muslim population, lots of ties. I know I was surprised when I lived in Malaysia, even go in shopping malls and there's like. And this was back when there wasn't big tensions, but big donations towards Palestine. I was like, wow, you don't see that in every country you go to, especially being from the Anglo world, right? I think it's actually illegal here in Canada to even criticize Israel. That's where we're at. You can't even talk about divestment without it being considered hate speech. So that's been an issue. But yeah, I think. And this is huge because the oil for the Chinese is the question. They must have oil. So I could see that being the practical aspect that would force their hand to sort of support that kind of blockade if it were to occur. They have a huge reliance on foreign oil. A lot of that's coming, they didn't like when the Arab Spring happened because they were getting actually a lot of their oil from Libya at the time. But now we see Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states have a huge relationship with China. And you have the whole Shanghai Economic Cooperation Organization that's sort of facilitating all that trade. So the question is with the Chinese, do they identify more with Israel or the Palestinians in this situation? Would that sort of subvert their official state logic of having population to manage and the right to do that? Or is it going to be the practical concern of the oil and their alliance with, say, the Iranians and the Saudis and the Russians and everybody else? Is that going to trump it? So that's where I could sort of see that happening.
Well, you also see the amount of investments the Chinese have made into Africa, into the countries in the Horn of Africa, anywhere where there's those resource-rich places. They've made inroads as far as the whole BRIC Silk Road initiative. So they definitely want to secure their own resource capability to keep acquiring it. So let's see how that plays out. And it's interesting how it seems as if someone is trying to foment more tension as far as Taiwan is concerned, and in combination of a potential blockade that works in China's favor at the expense of the Anglo-Zionist Empire and their tenuous relationship with Japan and South Korea, That's just the way my mind was working because so much flows through the Malacca Straits. Everyone talks about the Straits of Hormuz, but as far as the Pacific is concerned, that's one of the major shipping lanes. So I thought that I'd throw that out, and also,
And that's what gives Singapore
yes, and the fact
its
that
significance, right, is that it goes through there.
it does go through there, and it affects all these countries. It affects Australia. It'll affect the Philippines. It'll affect. So let's see. I don't want that to happen, right? But let's see how that plays out, and also what we're seeing in this run up to this possible election. There's all kinds of names being bandied out as potential candidates for the Democratic and Republican tickets. I've said for some time that this may be the big rollout of Michael, right? And so, what if they roll out Michael to be their candidate and he has a running mate like Gavin Newsom or that commie lady in Arizona or, some other crazed leftist? That's always a possibility. So, and also, there's even this notion that Dwayne Johnson, aka The Rock, is going to get involved in politics in one way or another. He's been kind of pushed forward by some circles. And then you have these rhino Republican types, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Nikki Haley, I think she's one of these rhino Republican types. People like her are being put forward as being safe candidates if we get to that point of an election, right? Which will be stage managed
Well,
and which will be
it's very
commandeered.
disturbing. Like,
Please.
I just find it very disturbing. Anybody who respects sort of separation between the branches of government, the executive and judicial and whatnot, and seeing these ploys in Maine and Colorado and all that to disqualify Trump from the ticket is just, it's dumbfounding to me. I don't think people appreciate that. There's all these people love to quack about January 6, but to me that it crosses such a line, and that's where you can see that you could very easily be crossing the threshold into this beyond the constitutional republic idea. Like there's not even a pretense of following it when you get to that point, right? And that's worrying for the rest of the world, because these trends in American politics tend to be mimicked by their counterparts in Western Europe, Canada, Australia, so forth. And that's worrying to me, because like I'm seeing here in Canada, the override of the federal government and doing what they want, using a state broadcaster for their means. And it is worrying in the States. Like, if you disenfranchise so many voters from their candidate, then that's going to lead to a lot of issues trying to lead up to an election. If he runs, they're going to squawk until the end of time against him anyway and try to keep disqualifying it. So I don't see how something good happens from it. Be honest. I mean, the Democrats don't have, like you say, a really viable candidate. I think they're sort
No.
of waiting to do their little snap. I don't think they honestly plan on Biden going again.
No.
That's for
He's
sure.
the ultimate
I mean,
lame duck. I mean, the guy needs an adult diaper, right? And he needs a muzzle for when he encounters young children because he's got no impulse control. And the Luciferian mentality, what they're all about, is so in our face nowadays. Where there is no, like you said, there's no pretense anymore of constitutional republic. There's no pretense anymore of representative government. The people they put forth in front of us as political leaders, I mean, these are sadistic clowns right out of the Hunger Games. It's this what I'm starting to call alien Zionism, the whole Luciferian alien Orion. Mentality has now been thrust into our faces, and it's promoted constantly by Netflix, by Disney, by the corporate media, by academia, And you've seen it. I'm sure you've seen these short video clips, man on the street interviews, where they're talking to people, college kids on these university campuses. They can't even answer the most basic questions about history, like when did Pearl Harbor happen? Who attacked Pearl Harbor? Because they've just been subjected to this hardcore Maoist style brainwashing, where they're just made to be overly reactive and have highly emotive response, a dysregulated response to so many different types of stimuli. So you have this whole horde of Karens out there, so-called, shutting down everyone, screaming, getting out of control. And I think as time goes on, more and more people will become dysregulated, unstable, violent because of the entity hosting phenomena that's been going on. I think more people are going to be really taken over by the dark side going forward.
Yeah, it's sort of becoming more apparent when you look at it in everyday society. Just people are unraveling. I think that's what you call it. I mean, we as a society, we still haven't dealt with the fact that we put our entire populations under house arrest, sometimes for months on end. And all of the social ramifications of that, it's insane. Right? I said something like I saw the thing about the Fauci testimony the other day, and they said, Dr. Fauci has a hard time remembering because over 100 times during his congressional hearing, he forgot what the answer was. Here, so I don't mean to get away from this, but just sort of the general context of what we're dealing with in the political environment, it's very severe, and especially I noticed with the young people. I thought it was bad when I was going to university with how some of the lefties went. And bear in mind, I was being indoctrinated by the same system at the same time, right? But now they've completely confused terms like racism or sexism. I mean, now to even speak critically in any way of another culture is to be branded a racist, right? Like there's no critical thought that's allowed. And this is where you sort of get this invasion of the body snatchers response by these people when you're not conforming to the script. So we've learned this really weird, like surviving a zombie apocalypse type of mode of adapting and surviving going in everyday public now, because you have to be careful about who's toes you step on. And it to me, it's
Well,
very worrying.
who would have thought that it would get to this point where, it was the controllers and their minions who introduced terms like political correctness, and that was, I remember when I first started hearing that bandied about was in the late 80s, early 90s. You got to be politically correct about things, which didn't register to me. I didn't understand what the term meant, and now we see that in spades, and you see the di dichotomy at work, like kind of this controlled schizophrenia, where when the immigrants, the Muslims, and the Africans run amok, burn France for one side or the other, the Freemasonic police, they stand down, to the point where Frenchmen, and this happening in Germany as well, Germans are finally standing up, right, about a lot of things about their communist government. Took them a while, but
Yes.
If you look at what they did in
They had
France,
to make sure.
they had to make sure. So the police stand down, the military stand down, the immigrants run amok on this orgy of rape and destruction and arson and violence. I mean, to the point where white French people were afraid to leave their houses for fear of getting attacked. Not that it really mattered because they would be subjected to home invasions as well. Point being is that when the ongoing mass public slaughter of Gaza and increasingly in the West Bank started, right? And then when Muslims and people sympathetic to the Palestinians protested in France, in Germany, and other places, suddenly, and this is especially the case in France, suddenly you have this mega police response crackdown on the protesters, right? So it's okay for the immigrants to burn France down from one end to another, right? I'm not laughing because it's funny. But
Of course,
when
yeah.
some of these people get together in a relatively small group to say, oh, you know, and this touches on what you just said, where we can't even be against mass slaughter anymore, because somehow that makes us anti-something, that makes us racist, that makes us a bigot, that makes us a domestic extremist. Wait a minute, I just don't like innocent people being slaughtered. What are you talking about? That's not good enough anymore, right? So let the immigrants run amok, destroy European heritage, European monuments, European landmarks. But if somebody protests against the ongoing slaughter, it's cracked down on that. And we saw also in Ireland in the recent past, the people there, a tipping point was reached because there's all the mass crime perpetrated by the immigrants. And again, as you know, because you study these things, you study mass migrations, you study military history, that this is asymmetrical warfare. You have the barbarians within the gate who are being indoctrinated and excreted out of the school system to be Karens, to be mass coals, to be lefties and communists, and then you're bringing in hordes of these entity infested demonic rapacious males, mostly from
At
all over the
minimum,
world.
these are people, they're coming from authoritarian systems,
Yes.
right? They're used to authoritarianism.
They're used to
So
throw.
when people in places like Canada that criticize what's happening, the government turns and says, why can't you get along like these people do and just do what you're told and follow the government script? And if you don't, now you're a far-right extremist for holding any value of our Western liberal democracy. If you have that, then you're a far-right extremist. But I'm noticing this further divisiveness that's happened where they're trying to get people into different camps of identification. And then you're no so longer assemble into that camp, and then they're dividing that camp again and tearing the individual's identity. So, for example, here, I noticed they did a lot with this whole situation with Israel-Palestine right now. Suddenly, the conservative media took up the ball that it's anti-Semitic to not support Israel in this venture. So then you had these people of conscience that on one hand, they would have actually been the ones being critical of this. Now they've divided the camp again. You see what I'm saying? So now you thought you had an identity in this new camp. And now this new camp says, well, if you're going to keep following us, this is the game we're playing. And so you have to go along with that. So it's like the public opinion's being corralled and it's being manipulated back and forth. And it's just general confusion is the reigning apparatus. So if you are identifying that you say didn't like Trudeau, and Trudeau sort of playing this game of, well, I'm not criticizing Israel, but we support the Palestinians and we'll do a resolution, sort of saying something like that. Well, now you are supposed to go along in this camp that's pro-Israeli. So this is the new level of division that I'm noticing that's going on. Rather than, like you say, like I've always hated that even when I was in university, because people wanted to put me in a camp of thought. And I was like, well, how about I just decide on a case-by-case basis what I think is right, rather than undyingly supporting something that somebody else is controlling.
Well, we're seeing that again, and we'll get to this because we see this cosmic version of that where these co-opted surface level truthers are quick to chirp blue beam, anytime an alien event happens, anytime anything of a UFO alien nature occurs, that's the first thing that's coming out of them. And like a whole huge swath of them do their own limitations, their own learning disabilities, their own entity infestations. they're incapable of making that mental leap because of the dogmatic prisons they've been in all this time without their knowing about it. And that's a topic we'll discuss because it's also topical. But like you look at what happened in Dublin, they're just tired of the immigrant crime, and then a lot of the Irish stood up. And what does the system do? It says, no, the immigrant crime, the immigrant rape, the acid throwing, the mutilations, that's good. Okay. That's diverse and cultural enrichment, right? Now, white Irish people standing up against that, that's bad. We're going to crack down on that. So we're seeing that level of two-facedness of that weird dichotomy. And also, I hear some people saying, oh, look, they're turning against their own leftist students who are in support of Palestine, right? That's not how I see it. I see that those leftists had a use-by date, an expiration date. And now,
Right.
they probably had provocateurs within them saying, let's protest against what Israel's doing in Gaza. And then they went along with it because they go along with whatever they're told, because it really is a cult. And so they start protesting at the universities and the schools and the streets, and then they start getting canceled. They start getting expelled from school. They start getting their scholarships taken away. They start losing their jobs. And some people say, well, look, they're eating their own. No, they were useful idiots. They had a use-by date, an expiration date, and they've reached it. And what's the end result of that? More censorship. More, you can't say anything negative about Israel, period now. And in the recent past, we've had this whole thing, like this tunnel, the system that's been found beneath these buildings in New York City, right? So, that whole issue of like what's going on there. And we're talking about this division, right? Now, what do the surface level types say? Oh, everything, especially if it's got to do with aliens, that's a distraction from take your pick. In this case, the go-to thing to be distracted from is the Epstein list. Pretty much the same Epstein list that came out a few years ago, right? So, but you will see cherry picking. You will see cherry picking and a blatant, obvious attempt now by the surface level community as far as the Epstein list, because one of the survivors been interviewed by I think Gareth Icke over at Iconic Icke.com, and she said, this gal from South Africa, you probably saw the video, she said she saw Epstein shapeshift and some kind of dragon Draco type creature, right? So the same ones that are chirping, oh, aliens, that's a distraction from the Epstein list. Yeah, what about this gal who's talking about seeing Epstein shapeshift into a reptilian, huh? Oh, no. Cherry picking, they're going to admit that. If anything, they will ostracize that witness. They will try to discredit her. They will say,
Oh,
no,
of course.
we don't want to talk about that because that discredits the whole thing. It's that same wussified surface level mentality, right? And I'm out and about in society. I don't hear anyone talking about either the Epstein list or about Miami, the mall. So who's being distracted from what? So these surface level types have been co-opted because of their own dogmatic limitations, their own programming, and there's also, ironically, an entity aspect to this. So we see a blatant example of this with all these people from Afghanistan, Pakistan, all these places where there's like that are jinn infested, heavily entity infested places. And people have to understand that in some of these old countries in the Middle East and Near East, it's absolutely normal for families, and even within families, for people to place curses on each other, hexing each other with demons and jinn. And that's so common in the Middle East and the Persian Gulf and the subcontinent, right? Because they know that there's a supernatural world. Indeed, so much of their cultures are infused with that demonic, reptilian, jinn DNA mentality, which is why rape is so common, why misogyny is so common, institutionalized, why pedophilia is so common. So on the one hand, they're bringing them all in, to do their thing, to turn them loose because they're going to act in a predictable way, right? But on the other hand, you have you're just your normal white European ethnic heritage leftist types, and increasingly these surface level types are turning into have turned into a branch of this cancel culture element, right? Because I investigate the Miami case, Virginia, any other case, just like I would any alien case. I want to see what's it all about. Is there something to it, right? What these surface level types are saying is no, that's a distraction. Don't presume to tell me what's a distraction and what not to research. Because now going forward, anything of an alien nature is going to be considered a psyop, blue beam, right? And the irony is blue beam
They
itself
chirp
is
the words without even knowing them.
they don't that's right. Blue beam itself is the psyop. So now if, like, say, helicopter pilots are flying along and then they're suddenly buzzed by UFOs and they lose control and the UFO is dragging them here and there throughout, the atmosphere, they'll chirp up and say, "That's blue beam." Oh, you mean like in 1973 when an Army Reserve helicopter over Mansfield, Ohio, when they were buzzed by a UFO and they lost altitude, and they lost controls, just like that. Or if there's video of somebody driving along and then, like, suddenly a flying saucer hovers right over the car and, lifts them off the car off the pavement, off the road. And there's even video of that, eyewitness testimony, right? Oh, that's just blue beam. Oh yeah, like when the Knowles family in Knoll Arbor Plain in Australia were driving along and a UFO clamped itself on top of the roof of their car and lifted them up off the ground, right? While they were moving. So going forward, everything is going to be a
They're not
psyop.
much different than the people saying,
They're right. They're one and the
yeah.
same now.
And
And the self-righteousness of these types is mind-boggling. And I just want your take on this, because when I see the Miami videos, I see panic-stricken. Forget about the mass number of cops for a second, right? And forget about the silly fireworks. Forget about the silly fighting. Those are the distractions. Those are the trivialities. I'm not interested in that, right? What I want to know is, what made all those people flee in blind panic, hordes of them, even after they got past the police cordon? And if the first witness said the police were detaining people, okay, listen to what these witnesses are saying. A lot of their testimony jibes in many ways. The face shifting in and out, how the beings seemed to move around laterally. They didn't sometimes didn't seem to be walking, right? They would just be moving around laterally and what have you. But the hordes of people, they get past the police cordon, running in blind panic, and I've seen the video. I don't know if you have, if I can dig it up, because so many of this stuff is disappearing off the internet. These kids running in blind panic. They're already safely out of the mall, and a kid runs right into the street, and he's smeared by a car going minimum 60 miles an hour. The kid was probably dead before he hit the ground. Okay, now that's a tragedy. That shouldn't have happened, right? Those kids in that video, especially the one that got run over, he didn't respond to a Craigslist ad for, like, some kind of weird FEMA drill. Okay, these were people that were running in blind panic, and if you look at the way they parked the police cars, they parked them in such a way that if they needed to, they would just converge and ram this thing, Malachi crutch, if they wanted to. So it's and the blackout, all that, the feds could have done the blackout because that's standard operating procedure whenever anything of an alien nature. If the aliens don't knock out the power grid in a given locale, the black ops military will, in order to facilitate the cover up and extraction removal of whatever is there. So anyway, I just like your thoughts on that, because it's yet another artificial division, and these surface level hook line and surface level truthers with their dogmatic, weird Christian, most of them are Christian Zionists, they don't even know it. They've fallen right in line with it. They should just do their research. We do our research. Leave us the F alone. We're not bothering them, telling them stop being distracted. But that's what they're doing to us. And we were the ones that were fighting this from the beginning, the real enemy, the reptilian overlordship. As far as I'm concerned, these surface level truthers, they are providing aid and comfort to the enemy that is oppressing us. So anyhow, enough of me. I'd like to hear your thoughts on any of that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I get really annoyed with the Project Bluebeam chirping. First of all, people don't even get the story right. From what we know about it, it goes back to supposedly what Wernher von Braun told his secretary. That's the part people leave out. Like, they reproduce the story, but not even the correct elements of it. So there's a question about whether or not that testimony was even right about the different stages of development that would occur. A,
Yeah,
that's
yes.
very
Yes,
critical piece of
that's a very good
information.
point. And Karen Rosen, I'm not making negative comments about someone who's since passed away, but she's the only one saying that, and it does not jibe. It's absolutely normal for these people in the public eye to speak out of both sides of their mouth. So if taken at face value, what he said to Carol Rosen was true, yes, okay, I can accept that. But at the same time, he said we're going to find runes on Mars. He's saying that aliens have knocked our satellites out of orbit and the government is in secret communication with those aliens. He said this back in the early 1970s in a interview with Der Spiegel in Germany. So, and he's told Clark McClellan he was at Roswell. He'd seen the bodies. He'd seen the technology and the records. So on the one hand, he's saying supposedly saying this about a fake alien invasion, but on the other hand, he was deeply immersed in the whole alien recovery, alien technology effort. So, that's another thing these surface level truthers don't talk about.
And there's a lot of emphasis on what occurs in the Southwest at the various bases there and the development of Skunk Works. But what's not discussed very much, too, is how the Redstone Arsenal is actually not just for the NASA program, but I believe it's the base for this reverse engineered craft and that as well. It is sort of the quiet little secret that's in there. Years ago, when I was doing some research on the nature of the Canadian government, I was looking at their incorporations through Dun and Bradstreet on and one of the companies that got listed was a Government of Canada address in Alabama. And I was like, Alabama? Well, I went on Google Earth and I looked at
Huntsville,
this. It
Huntsville
was
in
in
or
like
around
this,
it.
just next door to Huntsville. In this little strip mall, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was literally maybe just a couple kilometers from the research and development park in Huntsville. So, to me, it's obvious. Like, are they really like, is what's this address for? Well, it's the address actually for their deep alien research facility that they have a tunnel probably going straight to, and this whole underground area that it was, to me, it was just really obvious. It was so close to this research and development park that was all classified, and you couldn't really see the street view in that area. But people forget that aspect, right? Like, there's many ways that that is working. So I think Wernher von Braun wasn't trying to just say like, oh, they're going to make something up as if this is part of a Disney production. I think he did know, and he was working on different craft and whatnot in that area. Secondly, it's I agree with you about the whole blue beam thing. I feel like it's the go-to answer when things don't fit your cosmology. It's like, well, I don't want to have to consider a world with aliens. Therefore, I have this nice technological reason to say that's why I don't have to believe in it. So whether they're the, these secular types that just want to be like a secular atheist, or they're like dogmatic Christians, I tend to notice that both those groups really love to go towards the blue beam excuse.
Blue beam and they're just demons anyway, which
And they're just
again
demons,
it's a
yeah.
go-to that doesn't require much thought when people like survivors from satanic ritual abuses and people in my lab operations, et cetera, they're saying, wait a minute, these reptilians, they're a distinct species. They have their own society. They have a division of labor amongst them. They have a caste system, right? They use technology, right?
So that's really interesting to me to see that, right? Like, that we've also become a society that's so habituated to, it's part of this narcissism this generalized narcissism that you have to have the answer even before you've done an investigation. It's like first the sentencing, then we'll figure out the process of a trial. And that's how people look at evidence as well. It's not simply my attitude's always like, let's just gather as many data points as we can. We'll figure it out. The patterns will emerge as you dig deep into it. You're going to start to see distinctive clues of tampering in different ways, and that is going to lead you to your answers. But that's not the way people think anymore. They just want to jump the gun. This is the answer. Or even in the people who are more in the UFO community, and that they have to jump as well. Oh, I know, these are exactly these beings. Well, really? Or like we've confounded opinion and fact. And that goes to show you how well the disinformation program's going, because people don't know the difference between opinions and facts anymore. Or qualify and using the grammar in their speech to say, it appears that it looks like this. Or from what I can best understand, it could be this. We've dropped all that big fancy language to just say, it is this now. And this is the type of errors in thinking that are occurring that go along with it on every level, right? Yeah, I mean, the journalism doesn't distinguish. There used to be articles and editorials. Articles could only contain facts. Editorials contained opinions. We've completely blurred those lines. And so there's this constant blurring of all these things, and it's almost like there's an overproduction of information so that people are overwhelmed, and therefore they want to revert back into these convenient polarized camps that have been pre-established for them. So you don't have to worry your pretty little head and do that thing called thinking. We got experts to figure that out for you. You just have to figure out which predetermined one that you're going to subscribe to, and you stay in that camp, is sort of the idea.
Well, that's exactly what's going on with these surface level types, because who's the ones that got dysregulated? Who were the ones that got overly emotionally overwrought? It was these surface level types who immediately knee jerk start screaming, blue beam, this society is a distraction. Epstein list just came out. Oh, but again, they're not going to investigate the claims of the woman who saw Epstein shapeshift. They're going to conveniently leave that out because they're cowards, basically. Okay, they're cowards, they're dogmatic, they're Christian Zionists, a lot of them, but they don't even realize it. And they're part of the cancel culture now. They should stick to their surface level research, you know, the Federal Reserve, fiat currency, things 12-year-olds do in the 1920s, right? Stick to that. Let us deal with the real enemy, which is the reptilian overlordship, Orion Empire. People like us have been dealing with that crap lo these many lifetimes, right? And so here we find ourselves again, having to resolve all of this. And, you know, in the time we got left in this first segment, because we've gone over a lot of ground, but it needs to be pointed out because going forward, we're going to have a whole level, another level of strangeness. We haven't even talked about this mini solar system that's making itself felt again. In our solar system, call it Nibiru, call it TMI, call it whatever one will, Planet X, the second sun. It's there. I'm satisfied it's there. And I think it's inhabited, and it's quite possible at some point, not only will the denizens of that mini solar system, brown dwarf, red dwarf, call it what one will, that's already in our solar system. There's countless images of it. It doesn't matter how often they chem spray the skies and that whole chem spraying operation. I'm satisfied as an alien operation because, oh, you want to talk glitches? How about chemtrail planes glitching in and out? Okay. You know, again, cherry picking, surface level types. This is bad video, pixelation, you know, compression. They'll throw out all these words at you. Oh, no. When you zoom in, it looks like a cigar shape or cylinder shape fuselage when non-existent or little stubby wings are not even attached to the fuselage. Okay. So that to me is not a conventional craft. Right over my house here, there's a regular thick plume chemtrail shows up every few days. Very low in the atmosphere, low altitude. I don't hear it. So we're to believe that they're going to go to that much trouble to put that much stealth capability to the point where you can't even hear the engines of these things. And I've worked at air bases, and I've had turboprop planes, jet planes fly over me, scared me out of my skin. Okay. But these things are flying overhead, and now they're at low altitude and have been. We don't even hear them. I step outside, I see a large, thick plume practically right over my house at low altitude. Where was the sonic boom? Where was the house shaking and what have you? No, it's non-existent. But again, it's cherry picking. Okay? They don't want to hear that. And
Yeah, that's
so.
a really good point. I noticed the other day, the first time I actually heard a jet engine in a long, long time. And I was like, wow, I sort of forgot that you're supposed to hear the jet engine when something's flying over top. So that's a really good point. You know, we tend to, even those of us trying to be critical with it, don't notice that. But I have the same ones. They fly exactly from the same location every day, and they make roughly the same, you know, arc over when it's a sunny day. And yeah, it's very suspect. I mean, I live out in the middle of nowhere. I don't live near an airport. You can check these flight radar systems and you can see which planes are flying that day. They're not registered.
They're not. No,
They don't exist.
they're flying over Area 51. They're flying over White Sands. They're flying over restricted airspace with impunity. They're flying over the most remote places on land and in the ocean. Okay, that's overkill. That's a global terraforming operation. Okay, there's no one out there in the middle of the ocean to, you know, chemtrail, right? They're doing it to the whole planet. Where is the logistical infrastructure? There should be multiple bases of these. There should be multiple people that are working in the logistical chain that are popped out and say, oh, yeah, you know what? They should have all these anonymous videos of people that have worked at some level. And every once in a while, we'll see clickbait of, some conventional airliner that might be a chemtrail plane, and that gains wide circulation on the internet. And then you hear these stories of, oh, we got this. I don't doubt that the conventional semi-black military industrial complex does aerosol spraying. I don't doubt that. I wouldn't put it past them. But as far as this global effort, which resulting in global dimming,
Oh yeah.
that cannot be a purely human military operation. It's too vast. It where's the logistical infrastructure? That's the first thing because what Wendell Stevens said is so apropos, because he's thinking like a military guy, and they try to destroy his credibility, say he was a pedo. He was not. I know the whole backstory of that. They try to destroy his credibility. He was forced to recant about a number of stuff because of the pressure that was put on him before he died. But he said something that was short and succinct and concise. He said, what astonished us, because he was attached to an element in Alaska, Air Technical Intelligence Center, based out of Wright Patt. And he said, when we would see these saucers and other craft come out of the water or be sitting on a ice floe and suddenly just lift off, we were asking, okay, ourselves, look what we have to do. We have to have a big airfield, all these mechanics, these stocks of aviation fuel, et cetera, et cetera. These guys can just come out of the ocean. They can just lift off of a little ice floe. So right off the bat, he's thinking like a military guy, and they think in terms of logistics, not in all these highfalutin tactics. And they're thinking, like they've got it over us any day of the week, because they don't need this big logistical chain like we do, right? And so I put that out there for people who still think, and that's a surface level issue too, right? They keep chirping blue beam, but all these craft flying overhead, they don't make a sound. And another thing too, have you probably seen the so-called tick?
They also, you can tell they're taking off. They're
Yes.
taking off from a location.
Yes.
They arc, but they don't
Yes.
just keep going on indefinitely on a plane. They
Yes.
also start to descend at a
Yes.
certain point
Yes.
too, usually the same point every
Yes.
time. So it's like, well, it's landing. I mean, I could understand if normally if you have something coming from an airport, it's just like it's either at cruising altitude or heading towards it
Yes.
or towards landing mode, but it doesn't completely arc down to the point where it looks like it's landing, and you're like, well, Where could it be landing over there? That's just bush
Yes.
in that direction. That's the
Yes.
other side of a mountain that doesn't even have roads.
And
So where's that coming
and if
from?
you look at the visual evidence of the chemtrail plumes, I've seen them where there are multiple strands intertwined, like in a spiral, like interwoven threads. It's like that's beyond even what the Blue Angels can do, and it's at low altitude, right? So you see all these chemtrails crisscrossing, right? These people are daredevil pilots, whoever they are. They don't make a sound. And it just shows you also how just a little tweaking of the truth changes everything. So this notion, for example, that the Tic Tac, that's another introduction, UAPs, Tic Tac. No, they were in the old days, they were barrel shaped, cigar shaped, cylindrical. Now they're Tic Tacs, right? But on that video, radar video that shows them descending from very high altitude to right above wave top height, right? And people still, even people that I consider very knowledgeable about the UFO field, they say that's a drone, right? So here's where the tweak happened. Originally, the descent from very high altitude down to wave top was like something like 0.7 seconds. It wasn't even a full second. So that means if you do the math on it, which I'm not very good at math, we're talking about speeds not in tens of thousands of miles per hour. We're talking in six figures. If you're talking about in a linear mode, right? So to go from here to here in 0.7 seconds, well, what they did was they tweaked it and said a few seconds, and that changes everything. So now we're into tens of thousands of miles per hour instead of six figures miles per hour, right? It just shows you how subtle they are. And where's the sonic boom? People are going to say they're going to imbue that much technology into a drone. So even people that do research, it's like I don't know where they're thinking. Like, what happened to the thinking caps? They lose them, right? So yeah, we got so much to unpack
Yeah,
in this, you know.
that's a fascinating thing. Yeah, like with mind control, though, that's what people don't appreciate. Is it's extremely subtle.
It is.
It can it deliberately calculates this level of complexity. It's like reading a legal document, you know? It's all you have to do again is switch the order from an adjective noun to the opposite, and grammatically the meaning changes.
Yeah.
And that's what we have a lot of when it comes to these narratives. People don't realize the subtle shifts that were occurring, and they're missing the mark. Very smart people miss the mark on certain things. But if you're actually staying in that critical mode, like you're saying, using the data points that you know from reality, you're like, no, something doesn't work out in the math here.
Yes. Yes. And also one last bit about that Tic Tac is even some of these UFO researchers, so-called, who just say that they're just drones. They forget the part about the larger cylindrical craft that was submerged near the surface of the ocean. And that area where that carrier battle group had these encounters, that's a notorious area for undersea, underwater alien base. A lot of us Southern California researchers back in the day knew about that, right? And so once again, you have this division where not only are they tearing down statues and destroying iconography and statuary from the past to obliterate the past, but especially in the UFO field, we're seeing like this cutoff point where it all started with the Tic Tacs. And I was just watching Joe Rogan, who knows nothing about this subject. Oh, the aliens, the UFOs just started showing up after the atomic blast in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. No, they were being reported by countless pilots of all the air forces throughout the world. Call them Foo Fighters, call them. Sometimes they weren't just balls of light, they were real structured craft. Second Schweinfurt Raid, October 1943, saucers flew through the B-17 formations headed toward Schweinfurt. What a horrific mission that was, okay? So on top of all that, somehow this huge flotilla of these saucers, and it's right, if you look at the Majestic documents, there's a little tiny mention of this in it. And I encourage people to go to that Majestic website, Ryan Wood and Robert Wood, and he's coming out with a new book about like documenting 100 and something crash retrievals around the world. Okay. So again, this has been going on for a long time. And we've reached the end of the first segment with a good buddy of mine, Dan. If you like what we do, if you believe what we do here at the Cosmic Switchboard, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.